At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Take the drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
Mokarem Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. We're going to get to it. Them Astros take one on the head last night. Hunter Brown, he got beat around a little bit. Most of what he gave up was unearned, but got beat up a little bit. Yordan Alvarez was back in the lineup. Didn't do anything flashy, but his ass is healthy. And we'll check in on them Astros as the show goes along here. But also the Texans, yesterday was the cutdown date for them to go from 90 to 53. And they got down to 53, and the reality is I think there are some glaring some things that stand out. Let's put it like that. I'm not overly concerned about it. I think it's going to be a fluid situation here over the next week or so. There are some things that really stand out that I think is worth discussing here on this 53-man roster. Now that we know that it's final and we've had a little bit of time to hear from the coach and the general manager on that topic. Here's D'Amico Ryan's thoughts on the overall 53-man roster and finally being here.
I feel really good about our team. Our initial 53 roster is set. It's initial. Things are always in flux. Things are always moving. We're always looking to improve our roster as best we can. But we feel really good about the 53 men that have made our team so far. And those 53 guys definitely deserved it. And there are more guys who are deserving. We just couldn't keep more guys. But I would have loved to keep more guys. But had to make some tough decisions there. But we feel really good where we are.
Yeah, look, they always talk about, you know, wanting to keep. I think Nick said 65. I think he steered clear of the number 69 for some reason. But the number 69 is what stands out for everybody in the NFL right now. It's funny how Nick was talking about that about 2 years ago, and now all of a sudden, hell, that was Glovey talking about it 2 years ago. And now all of a sudden everybody's talking about 69 players. Well, I think Nick was on record today talking about 65. At the end of the day, I think Larry and Stafford is right. I mean, they need to extend the number 53 to, I don't know if it's 60 or 65 or something, but show some kind of that, hey, we see that there may need to be some expansion, right? Maybe a couple, maybe five. I don't know. We'll see.
I was surprised they didn't just hang on the way they did for COVID, and they just didn't roll how they did it did it then, or they had a couple of extra spots.
Okay.
Yeah, during the COVID season.
I think COVID changed it for the better, which expanded the practice squad and all that. But anyway, they cut down to 53. And I think there are a couple of things here, Ron, that are absolutely glaring that, to me, it just screams, hey, man, not, well, what are y'all doing? Why'd you keep 10 offensive linemen? Why'd you keep 11 offensive linemen? You know, whatever the numbers were. Like, I would say that they kept extras at places. Hell, you ought to feel better about it where they kept extras. Here's the first most glaring one for me is the tight end position. There is absolutely no chance. There is no chance that the Houston Texans go into a game with just two tight ends on the roster, on the active roster. And right now it's obviously Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz. As Ron mentioned earlier, they did add Harrison Bryant to the practice squad. I would imagine he would move up. But for now, here's Nick Caserio talking tight ends and the fact that there was only two on the roster.
Yeah, we'll see. I've talked about this at different points. Some positions you carry your depth on the roster. Some positions you carry your depth off the roster. We view it as 65, 70 players are essentially available every week at our disposal. And whoever we feel can help us that particular week or game, we'll consider it. We probably very easily could have carried 60 to 65 players on the actual roster, but the rules are the rules. So we try to work within the parameters that were given by the league. Some positions they'll be on the 53, some will be on the practice squad, but we don't view the practice squad players any differently than the players that are on the roster. Some of this is just mechanics and just positioning and, you know, where do you feel that you have to carry a player or handle a player. So, you know, we'll always look at it and ultimately do what we feel makes the most sense for our team.
That's Nick Caserio when asked about the tight ends. Again, there's two on the roster right now, Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz. And as much as I would like for them to enter a game with those two on the roster and say, hey, boys, I mean, you're two are the ones we're going with, and Cade Stover is going to get all of the run that is ultimately hand in the dirt attached to the tackle, and Dalton Schultz is going to do the more finesse things and kind of catch passes and be in the hip position and things of that nature, I would love to get a good heavy dose of that. There's no way it's going to happen. They've got to have a third tight end in the mix. Irv Smith.
He's on IR.
He's done for the season, I believe, is what I read. Yep. But Harrison Bryant was brought back. Harrison Bryant, Ron, has got to be one of those guys. Nick Caserio mentioned today in his time with the media, he mentioned that, you know, something's going on when guys hope they clear waivers or guys agree that they'll come back and join a practice squad because they want to be on the squad. I got to believe that Harrison Bryant is one of those guys of, hey, man, look, we're going to release you. And Harrison, I believe, is what year is he in the league? I got to believe he was a cut, not a wave. But, you know, hey, we're going to cut you. And you're going to be on the streets. But we want to go ahead and work something out with your agent to bring you back, put you on the practice squad, and basically we're going to guarantee you that when the time's right, we're going to move you up and we'll compensate you accordingly when we move you up. We want you here. You're not a practice squad player. I got to believe Harrison Bryant is that.
6 years.
So Harrison Bryant is a six-year vet that is not a waiver guy. He's a guy that was cut, put on the streets, and then chose to come back and be on the practice squad. There's no way that there's not, obviously, some conversations there of come back here, we're going to get you back on the roster, and we'll make it right money-wise when that time comes. But I fully expect the Texans to make a move at that tight end position. The other one for me, Ron, we talked at length about it, in the secondary. There's only three safeties on this team, and one of them is C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Sorry, on this roster. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson is one of them. And he is injured, and we don't know when he's coming back. Again, they were vague responding to questions about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think the fact that he's on the 53-man roster and not on some injured list tells you that he's at least less than a month into the season from being well. So he's got to come back at some point. But there were a slew of defensive backs that were cut. I think most notably Miles Bryant. Miles Bryant is a guy that has history, I believe, with Nick Caserio.
Hell, Nick brought him up today in the press conference.
Yeah, Nick brought him up today when he was talking about the roster, and then I think he caught himself and said, oh, well, he's not here right now. That's where I was going with it. I think ultimately Miles Bryant is a guy that they bring back. Just like Harrison Bryant, I think Miles Bryant, have they announced whether they're bringing him back on the practice squad yet?
I haven't seen that yet.
I'd be willing to bet you there's some kind of deal worked out of, hey, If you get an offer, we'll match it or we'll one up it to bring you back here when the timing's right. So I, like again, look for Miles Bryant to be added to this football team. But that does leave us in a spot, Ron, where you got one true nickel defender right now that we know of. You've got one true nickel defender. That's Jalen Petrie. Both of us love him. Everybody loves Jalen Petrie. I think he's a great player. But the reality of it is the nickel defender is not a position where you only want one of. And luckily, they got several guys that have a little bit of flex position-wise that can jump down there. I talked about Kamari Lassiter. I love Kamari Lassiter in the slot. But there's also another guy here that I've talked a lot about, I've been a big fan of, that I think factors into the nickel defender, the third corner, and what D'Amico Ryans can do defensively. So here's Nick Caserio talking about rookie corner out of USC, Jalen Smith, that could also play some nickel.
Yeah, he's taking reps a little bit in, a little bit out. Probably worked a little bit more on the perimeter here. So we'll just try to figure out like what makes the most sense. We have a number of players that have experience playing inside the formation. Petey's one of them. Kamari's played inside the formation. Miles Bryant's played inside the formation. I mean, he's not here right now, but you know, Miles has experience there. Even CeeDee, when he was in Philadelphia, has played inside the formation. So we'll just try to find guys that maybe have a certain degree of flexibility in really whatever you ask them to do, making sure that you're not asking them to do something that either A, they're not comfortable with, or B, maybe they're better off doing something else. So we'll figure out kind of what makes the most sense. But we feel like we have, I mean, a number of versatile players back there in the secondary. I mean, other than Stingley, I mean, you know, most of the guys have some position flex. And honestly, if Stingley had to go inside and play inside the formation, the situationally, I mean, guy's the best corner in the league. So I'm sure he could probably figure it out.
Well, Agreed. He Stingley would be fine wherever you put him. But I love the point he makes there, Ron, is look, I think Miles Bryant, I think he kind of misspoke there. Miles Bryant will be back.
By the way, he is on the practice squad.
Miles Bryant is. Right, perfect.
And like, Damon Arnett Jr. as well.
Right, Damon Arnett, I think he is a practice squad player. I think he's a developmental guy. I think he's got a lot to prove. Miles Bryant is a guy that chooses to come back here because there's some level of guarantee that, hey man, just come back here, put you on a practice squad. Before the first game, we'll have you back on the roster. We want you here. You'll have a hell of a deal, and we'll probably even give you a little signing bonus, you know, boost to make sure that it happens. So no surprise that Miles Bryant is on the practice squad. I would bet he's going to be on the roster. The point there, though, I think with Nick Caserio is talking about, you know, some of the position flex with these guys. They feel really comfortable, and I love this. I absolutely love this with D'Amico Ryans scheming and play designing on the defensive side of the football. When you've got a guy, again, like Jalen Smith, the rookie, that can play nickel or can play outside corner, you've got a guy like Kamari Lassiter who can play, who is really, really good at corner and really, really good at the nickel defender, and you got Jalen Petrie who is really, really good at that nickel defender in his own way. Like the flexibility there. And then you bring a guy like Miles Bryant back into the mix. You get a guy like C.J. Gardner-Johnson healthy. Now you've got some real weapons there for D'Amico Ryans on the defensive side of the football. So don't be alarmed about the tight end position only having two, and don't be alarmed about, you know, there's only three safeties, one of which is injured on this roster right now, because I think those are two spots, Ron, that we see some pretty significant movement.
No chance they're going to roll in with those numbers. I wouldn't, especially the tight ends, Clint. The amount of 12 personnel they're going to use.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
There is no chance that they're just going to roll with two tight ends.
Yeah, no, it just doesn't. Not with Nick Caley on the ones and twos.
No.
I mean, it just seems like he's going to be the one that that really brings the tight end position to life. It's a shame that Brevin Jordan was injured, but it's I still think that he can do some things to make the tight end. Last year, look, the tight end position was a liability. A lot of that had to do with Dalton Schultz, obviously. A lot of that had to do with pass protection. But last year, I think it's fair to say that the tight end position was a liability for the Texans and on several fronts. And this year with Nick Caley, I've said this about D'Amico Ryans. Like, when you hire D'Amico Ryans, look, you hope you get one of the best coaches in general, head coaches in the NFL in general, which we do. We got that, right? But the first thing you got to make sure you have that D'Amico had to make sure is get that defense right. Right, you had to be a top-tier defense in this league year in, year out when you have D'Amico. Now, bring that down a notch when you hire Nick Caley, and Nick Caley's expertise has always been in tight ends, right? I don't expect him to go in there and be Bill Walsh. But I don't expect him to go in there and be one of the greatest offensive minds from a scheming perspective, from a play design perspective, from a timing and a game plan. And I like the adjustments. Like, I hope he's good. Like, I hope he shows us a little promise. I don't expect him to be great. I do expect Nick Caley to get the absolute best out of every single tight end on this team. I do expect Nick Caley.
That should be an expectation.
Absolutely. I do expect Nick Caley to create an offense, to design an offense that highlights, utilizes the tight end in like impressive fashion, right? Noticeable fashion. Like, you got a $12 million tight end that, while I'll agree, is a tight end that is more suited to be a route runner, to see the game through the lens of the quarterback and to be that safety blanket for the quarterback and to create a little separation and catch passes. I expect to see the best Dalton Schultz that I've seen. I expect to see him used in different ways that kind of highlight his pass catching abilities, right? You look at Cade Stover. One of the reasons I'm so excited about Cade Stover is because I think naturally his style of play is kind of old school. Well, it's just kind of old school, right? And if that's the way Nick Caley sees it, we saw the wham block when he cracked down on Brown. What's his first name? The big D tackle or nose tackle for Carolina?
Derek
Brown. That seeing those kind of things from the tight end position, that's sexy, man. And I just expect to be able to see those things executed, implemented, first of all, part of what we're doing, and then implemented, in a way that we see come to life. And so I'm not giving Dalton Schultz any way of an out here, but to think that they were still trying to use him in pass protection with the season on the line in Kansas City is a crying ass shame. Like, those kind of things have to be a thing of the past with Nick Caley. Right, so go back to Nick Caley. Like, hey, I expect the tight ends to be used in a fashion around here that we ain't seen in a while. Right, I'll give you a little grace with the game management, clock management. I'll give you a little grace with, hey man, it just takes a little time for C.J. Stroud and this offense to get rolling.
There's one position group really takes a step forward. Expertise.
Come on, hey, look, coach. Don't tell me about how you know your whole approach as an offensive coordinator is to put guys in position to play to their strengths. And then we roll out here and Dalton Schultz is running fullback in the first game. You know what I mean? Like that ain't it. Like, so, you know, there's the tight end position in particular is where my expectations from jump out of the gate for the Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley. I want to see the impact of having a guy that's been a tight end coach for 8-9 years in this league in some really good systems. I want to see that impact immediately out of the gate.
Well, as Tyler said earlier this week, arguably the best of all time, Rob Gronkowski, had some glowing thoughts about Nick Caley.
Juice and energy, baby.
His old
juice and energy
tight end coach. So, you know, that'll be a real expectation with Nick Caley coming up with this offense. All right, I hate being this person to have to deliver this type of news, but we've got some new Astros news.
Mm.
Somebody else is going at least on the IL for a temporary period. We'll tell you the latest on that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. Again, as I said, I don't like to be the one that has to deliver this, but
the bearer of bad news. We're on the show, Hughley.
There you go. I see a texter, 23767, every day. I hear you.
Let me guess. They don't like the commercials?
I hear you every day. But
we still can't do nothing about it.
But what we can talk about here is what's happening with the Houston Astros. And this isn't good news. Victor Caratini, he is in the concussion protocol.
No, God!
He is in the concussion protocol. That's not it. Apparently, he took a ball off the head last night, and he had taken one similarly against the Baltimore Orioles. So, they have placed him in the concussion protocol. And Yiner Diaz had a ball hit him in the wrist yesterday. He is struggling with his wrist, and he needs an extra day or two. He needs an extra day or two with his wrist issue, so he is also injured. Now, it is reported for Brian McTaggart that he was out at the Daikin on the field with equipment on. So maybe it's obviously not as bad as Victor Caratini, but with that, Clint, they did have to make the move of bringing Cesar Salazar. He will start tonight, and now the fun starts. Because who's the emergency catcher on this team? Do we know?
Chaz? Oh, let's see. Got to be a right. Got to be Dubon?
Lefty?
Dubon.
Gotta be, I bet gotta it be is, Dubon. Right? It's gotta Dubon.
Got to be.
Because, right, because if they, if it, let's say tonight, man, they're down 4-3 in the ninth, and Salazar ends up at second. You got a pinch run for him, don't you?
No chance.
You just got to keep him in there. You got to pinch run for him, and you got to put the emergency catcher in.
No chance.
It's got to be Dubon. Is that who it is, Tyler? Do you know?
Nothing I'm finding is like concrete in that way.
I don't, you're right. I don't even know who else.
You want to know what the robots say? AI?
Sure.
They say, yes, Yiner, Caratini. After them, the most likely player would be Salazar. And if he was unable, it would potentially have to be an infielder like Mauricio Dubon. So the robots agree with you.
I mean, Christian Walker's old ass ain't squatting down back here.
Hell no.
I mean, Los and Altuve and Pena ain't going nowhere.
Well, they're too valuable.
I mean, there's no other right hander out there. It's literally the only right handers.
Cam? Can Cam Smith get down there?
Cam.
I bet
he's got a little catch in his history. He was third baseman, too.
I don't know, man. Cam looks like he blinks every time.
I think Dubon is the only one that would get good and excited about it.
Cam looks like Altuve back there. He's closest to the ground. He's got the shortest distance to go down there.
He didn't go far to squat, does he? Just don't throw a high pitch. We're in trouble. Am I the only one that reads that? And that is that there is a certain level of softness.
On what?
Concussion protocol?
I mean, I don't think you can mess with concussion. I mean,
I'm not even going to react
to
that.
Concussion test, mm-hmm. I think.
Nope.
In baseball?
Yeah, he's a catcher. Bro. He gets hit. Yeah, those catchers they get drilled knocked. In the foul balls.
Umpires, too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Especially that's especially if it hits him in the right spot. I've watched the Royals over the years. Salvador Perez he's hit the concussion protocol probably as many times as Aikman.
Really?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I know that they take shots off the head, but concussion,
especially the side. They're built. Those helmets are built especially. Now the ones that are really bad, the ones that come over like hockey masks,
yeah,
those are terrible. But the ones that if you hit them in the center, that's where it's built to block. But if they get hit in the side, they get.
Ooh, boy, it's
that foul ball
hot
off
butter
that,
thoughts yeah. right there for me.
No, yeah, no, it's. I mean, I just don't think we can hot butter concussion if you feel the concussion. Man.
Kidding me? I watched a little leaguer take a pitch off the dome yesterday and go to first base.
Yeah, I mean it. You know, again, if you as you watched the Cowboys documentary, the concussion in which, by the way, this the NFL is insane. Troy Aikman received a concussion and said he didn't remember anything else out of the NFC Championship game that he played in. The next day, he came and watched the film and didn't know any of it. Didn't remember any of it happening, and he was the one out there doing it. He watched the game for the first time.
He rubbed some dirt on it.
But anyway, you saw that. He said it was not a bad hit. It was a little glancing blow on the knee, and you just, I mean, never
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, I get
you
it.
Get,
I mean,
you
I
get
got
it right.
Javon Kearse, I'd swear he hit me, shot me with a 30-06 in the forehead, and it was just a little glancing blow off of his pad. And sure enough, I had some tunnel vision.
Text line coming in.
No damn concussion protocol.
Mustang Sally, come on, Clint. Show is right.
Sally, come on, man.
And then someone else texting, Clint is correct.
Damn,
listen,
Sally.
Folks, I love you all here. Clint is definitely not correct on this one.
I mean, the brain seems important.
He is definitely not correct.
It just seems soft.
Yeah, brains are soft. That's why you get concussed.
It seems on the soft
it's
side.
It's a literal organ, like up in your dome. Yeah. Y'all are wilding.
Don't say y'all.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the tags line.
I mean, Aziz Alshire's over there filling the A-gap with 220, 250 coming downhill at him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, did Trevor Lawrence miss any games?
Consistently.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, what is going on? Seriously, Tyler.
I don't get it. I really don't. I can at least see an argument, but I mean, we're talking about the brain.
Someone else texted in. I'm with Clint on this one. Unless they get ran over,
they wouldn't do it unless they needed some people.
Like I would see if you got like ran into somebody else and hit his head on a deal or hit his head on the ground or something.
Someone.
A pitch?
Just that gray matter in your skull. Yeah, who cares? Yes, psycho.
By the way, did you see that? Did you see that Little League umpire this weekend who got hit square in the nuts three times, bro?
I did not see that.
Right in the nuts.
Two were foul balls. One, the Little League catcher just missed it. Just missed it, hit him right in the nuts.
Did he do it on purpose?
No, I don't think he did. But that third one, man, he hung in there those first two. And that third one,
he was stuck.
Hey, man, when I say fetal position, he was in the fetal position when that left leg just up in the air stuck.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
The first two, man, he just went down. That third one, he said, oh! Like Homer, it went down with them nuts. But, by the way, Jordan will be, I haven't seen the lineup. The only thing I have seen is that Jordan is going to be DHing tonight. So I have not seen the lineup yet, but Jordan will be in the lineup as the DH tonight. So he'll have game two in this thing tonight. But again, if you're just jumping in and you missed it, the Astros tonight, game two of this series with the Rockies, Framber Valdez on the mound. Good luck. Victor Caratini is in concussion protocol. Yiner Diaz is having some issues with his hands, his wrist. He took a foul ball where he got hit in the wrist by an errant pitch in Baltimore. And what is going on with this? I'm sorry. I just really read that, Tyler. He got hit in the wrist by an errant pitch in Baltimore, and it's been bothering him. They say he needs an extra day or two. So he is going to be monitored. So that means they're calling up Cesar Salazar, and he is starting tonight.
So Diaz is the emergency. his injury's not bad enough to take him completely out, but he's the emergency.
They're saying he needs an extra day or two.
He's on the field with equipment.
I know he's on the field with equipment. I wonder how much they want to avoid him. If it's a wrist and he needs an extra day or two.
I mean, I need to reserve the diva.
Can we get an understanding of which wrist it is?
The diva tendencies are reserved for Yordan.
Tyler, I swear before God, when he said diva, I thought it was Yiner that he was talking about. I thought that's clearly where he was going. Clearly where he was going.
No.
Somebody texted and said, I want Clint to coach my kids' baseball
you
team.
You damn sure do.
Hope you're ready for some CTE.
There ain't no doubt about it. You damn sure do.
Hey, I ain't going to lie to you.
Is the alternative?
I'm not going to lie to you. When I think about that, I wonder how many little league concussions that just let get going on. I don't, like, some of these places don't have actual doctors coming out there to check in on some of these. And they're like, how you doing? Good.
You good?
Like the old school.
Yeah, follow my finger.
The old school. Yeah, the old follow my finger thing. And how do you know? The old school. Yeah. Just wondering that. But Cesar Salad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the building. He'll be catching for Framber tonight.
See.
Hopefully he is all right. Coming up next, it is Wednesday. That means our guy,
Soft Sally,
Brandon Scott. Just don't think he's soft with a concussion. Brandon Scott joins us as he does his Texans report. We'll get his thoughts on the biggest stories involving the Texans as they're about 10 days away before the opener against the Rams. B. Scott coming up next.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. It is Texans report. Brandon Scott is in the building every single Wednesday as he joins us. And today was a big day. We heard from Nick Caserio. We heard from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. The roster was dropped yesterday. A lot happening in the last couple of days. And B. Scott with us. Let's jump right in here, Brandon. What for you is all of this going on? A lot of stuff going on. What for you is the story that kind of has your attention the most dealing with the Texans?
Well, we've talked about this on the show quite a bit. I know a couple of times when I was in for you, Ron, standing here with Clint, where the running back situation is a really curious one because you are talking about, and this is before we knew that Joe Mixon was going to be out for four games, but who knows how long you're going to be without your Pro Bowl running back at a time when the Texans have tried to change, or at least trying to right now, change their identity to be more of a physical, you know, upfront smash mouth type of football team. That appears to be, based off of what we've seen in these preseason games and what we've been watching at training camp. Clint, you were on this early on in our earliest days at training camp. They were going to try to run the football. That a lot of these passes were going to be what a lot of people call dink and dunk. Try to get chunk plays, short yardage type of stuff, or at least short passes and the run game. That's what they were going to lean into. But a lot of that, at least in my mind, the success of that was predicated on having a dude like Joe Mixon in the backfield, at least at some point. If not week one or week two, at some point pretty soon.
Yep.
Now we're talking about a minimum of four games. And then based off of how they've talked about it, and I'm not here to necessarily criticize them for how they're handling it, because I think it's okay for the team to have separate interest from the media. Like, what I want and what I want to know is different from what they want to give out there. I don't have to like it, but I understand where they're coming from. They got to understand where I'm coming from. But at the same time, you do get to glean from their answers that this does not look good. There is no way that you can listen to Nick Caserio or listen to D'Amico Ryans talk about this injury and talk about this issue, or not talk about this issue and feel good about the situation. So that's what stands out to me the most. Obviously, earlier in the week, finding out that Joe Mixon was going to miss at least four games, and then everything since then feeling like he could miss more.
Not only are they not wanting to talk about the Joe Mixon situation, it is clear that it is a point of frustration when asked and pressed a little bit about the Joe Mixon situation, which I find very interesting, B. Scott. I said this earlier. Like, to me, I would argue that having a guy like Joe Mixon, a Pro Bowl player that has not been seen all of training camp. We're talking 5-6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then on the backside of that, you get frustrated every time that he's asked, which visibly, notably, audibly, there's frustration there. And he's placed on a list, an injured list, that is specifically for guys that were injured away from the program, away from the organization, not team functions, team sanctioned, you know, workouts.
Right.
I would argue that dynamic and not being some level of transparent of, hey, here's what's going on, is really, really risky. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not a hot take artist, but I can't help but look at that. We were talking about it before the show, and it kind of you start wrapping your head around it. It's hard to not look at the Joe Mixon situation and go, hey, man, I wonder if he got hurt outside of football. You know, outside of the Texans building, and now you're looking at it of like, is there a chance to void a contract here for Joe Mixon and him no longer be a Texan if this is a longer-term injury? Like, to allow the speculation, which I think is very fair, you're not just shooting, you're trying to be first or whatever the hell you're talking about, and shooting off the hip. I mean, it's very fair to right now to view this thing as like, man, connect some dots. There may be something going on here.
It's like it feels like Christian Harris from last year, where you're just trying to figure out, like, what's going on, and They seem to be real defensive at times when they have to answer anything about it. It is at the very least not the norm of how you see situations of injuries handled.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Christian Harris, Ron, because I think two things are going on here. You can remember earlier on in training camp when C.J. Gardner-Johnson gets injured and there's the inaccurate report about his injury. I think that caused some level of frustration within
the organization, which makes sense.
I think you couple that with Teron's point about it feeling like Christian Harris, this is what I can tell you where it is kind of like the Christian Harris situation, and you kind of alluded to it as well, Clint, of getting injured away from the facility. So with both situations, with Christian Harris and with Joe Mixon, my understanding is that these injuries happened in the offseason in some type of offseason training or program that is separate from whatever the sure. Texans got on their own time. And my sense is the Texans already don't like to talk about injuries. Most football teams don't. So they're already reluctant to talk about injuries, but they're especially reluctant to talk about injuries that happen outside of their purview and outside of their control. And not just reluctant to talk about it, but there is some agitation, some frustration with it, especially when it's long term, when it's not just a little kind of got nicked up.
Put him in a bad spot.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about with Christian Harris, who missed 10 plus 13 weeks or so, and then still wasn't right when he got back. Wasn't right even for training camp,
the year,
right?
Yeah.
And then now this situation with Joe Mixon is a very similar kind of thing where it happens off their time, away from their dime, but now they are the ones left to deal with the ramifications of it. I think there is some frustration on the organization's part with that sort of thing. Now, as far as the contract, look, I would imagine that you know, if they can help it, if they can get Joe Mixon right, they just want to have Joe Mixon. But I think all of that stuff are things to actually consider in terms of the team's vantage point on how they both view the situation and how they want to communicate about it. Because they don't want to really talk about an injury
right.
that happened off of their watch.
Right.
They don't fully necessarily understand.
The interesting, fascinating part to me is the combination of two things. You don't want to talk about it, but you get frustrated when you ask about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like zero.
They don't want to talk about it.
But to me, that's right, that's like deflection, though. I feel like that's what's happening.
Sure,
like, hey,
sure.
Let's take the focus off of us and let's put the focus on y'all for wanting to be first and for wanting to
it's
be
very
messy
similar,
and wanting
very
to be in somebody's
business.
Right, which to me is wrong. Like to lump everybody into the I want to be first, that's wrong. I mean, that's just dead ass wrong. I don't know the way about it. Like. What world are we living in where the media goes to practice and your starting quarterback that's fixing to be the face of your franchise, you're going to pay $60 million and isn't throwing, is not a story.
Yeah.
Is not, and like the frustration of being asked about that. Like that is just, I don't know, man. I think it's an interesting way about going about business,
well,
but I'm sorry. I didn't mean to eat up
your
segment.
Well, they are clearly targeting somebody with the I want to. It kind of comes off as a catch-all, and that part, I agree with you, is not fair. But I think we clearly know that they're talking about specific the newsbreakers of the world, both locally and nationally, who want to fixate on being first. And then just, I think, the overall general speculation part. Like, they're like, hey, well, why are you speculating and you don't know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we're not just speculating, to be fair. We are asking you. And on your side, you don't want to answer the question. So, I mean, I think if we would just say that, hey, we want to know, we don't want to tell you. And we can leave it at that. But then it has to be this tit for tat sort of thing of, well, y'all want to be first, and y'all want to be all up in somebody's personal business type of thing.
It's weird when you got the way you guys are talking. It's reminding me of the Azeez Al-Shaire situation last year, where they just kind of deflected the conversation to something else that wasn't even being talked about with the Trevor Lawrence thing, where they deflected it off.
But you know, I mean, you know this from, you know, your family's got PR background, like that's. That's kind of part of the game. It's like, hey, let's deflect, let's change the narrative, let's change the conversation, and let's talk about what we want to talk about. And we would rather talk about anything but this injury, even if it's got to be us generalizing the media as one when we're really talking about one, two, three people.
That's Brandon Scott. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. B. Scott, roster, what was the biggest takeaway for you as they put out the initial 53?
Y'all help me talk through this, and the audience can do so as well. Should I be confused by the Texans only carrying the two tight ends on the 53-man roster, or should I be confident in the Texans only carrying two tight ends on the 53-man roster? And this is why I ask. Confused, because it's like, well, you figured you would have more, right?
Yeah.
Or confident because, especially with the new offensive coordinator having a tight ends coach background, like confused by that, but also confident from the standpoint of, well, maybe this guy just feel like he can make it work with two tight ends. Hey, I don't need a bunch of tight ends. I just need the best two. Give me those two and I can make it work. Like, I honestly do not then understand that they're going to bring guys back and you're going to have practice squad guys and all of that. But I did not really understand was just at least surprised by the lack of tight ends on the roster, on the 53-man, initial 53-man roster. And then they had like 51 defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Like it looked like every defensive lineman that ever lined up for the defensive line was on this roster. So like that part stood out to me.
Yeah. I don't think you should be concerned. They ain't fools to think they can carry two tight ends.
The problem with just carrying two tight ends is one injury away from not just losing that player, but you lose the ability to be your whole 12 personnel package, which I think they're going to be a big part of. Most of the NFL does have a pretty hefty 12 personnel package, one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers.
They do have big receivers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that I would want to do that, but I'm just, they do have some size.
I've been wrong a lot in my time, B. Scott. I would bet a large amount of money that they will not go into a game with two tight ends on the roster. There will be three guys active. The Harrison Bryant kid, I'll be honest with you, I was surprised when they cut him after trading and specifically filling the need. Irv Smith being injured even more significantly than when you traded for Harrison Bryant. Now that he's on the practice squad, I'll be shocked off my ass if a veteran came back to be on this practice squad, isn't immediately, if he hadn't already been guaranteed, hey, you're going to be on the roster week one. Just give us some time to work this stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, just like you mentioned, just from the numbers game standpoint, you're an injury away from completely taking out a chapter of your playbook. Like whatever your 12 personnel plays look like, however many of them you have, I don't know. But whatever they are, they're gone now. Oh, and if you are running them, you're trying to make Xavier Hutchinson or poor rookie Jaden Higgins or somebody that's a bigger, but and Justin Watson's got decent size as well. That surprised me a little bit that he made the roster, but he did. So you do have some size at the wide receiver position if you were to try to do some makeshift 12 personnel type of stuff, but it's not ideal.
You Nick Cayley telling Bobby Slowick, hold my beer and watch this, if he gets Justin Watson blocking on the edge receiver off the offense.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. I don't think Nick Cayley needs me, the tight end coach and offensive coordinator. Yeah. I don't think needs me to tell him that. And hopefully he watched the film from last year to see how that worked out with real tight ends. But hopefully he doesn't need that birdie in his ear.
That's B. Scott. Stay tuned and catch all of his work, sportsradio610.com. He's all over the station every Friday with In the Loop. That's Brandon Scott. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next Wednesday as we'll be ready for the regular season, baby. We're getting there.
It's time, man. I hate this little 2-week period where we got to wait for it, but we're getting there.
Right around the corner.
Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire news with the Astros. Yet another member on the IL. We'll give you the latest in their catching position and their situation. Get you ready for tonight as Framber is on the mound again. And the latest, if you haven't heard it from Nick Caserio himself, Mixon and him playing this season. We'll continue that coming up next.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.